You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another SB Nation NFL show. I am Rob Stats Guerrero from Niners Nation, alongside Kyle Posey from Niners Nation, Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company, and Steven Serta of Arrowhead Pride behind the glass. Happy Wednesday, KP. 8 in a row for our Niners. Life is good.
Yeah, man. Not much to complain about for us. And
I'm off with 3 straight, too.
Our fellow co-host has a little winning streak of himself, right?
That's and true. And happy you're back. This four. Week.
Yeah. Excited about that. I'm counting 4 in a row now that Derek Carr's bench that Devontae has to deal with Jarrett Stidham. So,
yeah, we're going to get to that. Before we do, I just want to remind everybody that we're brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use code SBNFL for a special offer when you sign up. That is code SBNFL only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Also, please rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. If you haven't done so already, please, please do so. Leave us a rating. We'll read it on the show. We have a big show today. There's a lot of stuff going on. Debbie Emery, our associate director of NFL community, sat down with Rob Gronkowski. So we're going to get to that interview. But before we do, we hinted at it, so let's just get to the breaking news. Derek Carr done as the Raiders starter for the rest of the season. Jared Stidham in. And most likely, Justice, we'll start with you. Derek Carr done as a Las Vegas Raider?
Has to be. Once you make those financial decisions, right? I mean, think of if you're in Derek Carr's shoes. Like, is there any coming back from that? There was the whole rift of him and Gruden, too, and all the speculation on is Gruden going to move off of him. Just seemed like, you know, with this year, it makes it easy for a clean break. I didn't think Jarrett Stidham was going to be the guy that kind of pushed him out the door, but it'll be interesting. Like, there's not really – I mean, what are they going to do, make a push for Lamar? Lamar's going to get tagged. Are they going to make a push for Brady? Like, what options do the Raiders even really have?
Aaron.
he's not gone. Good said that they gave him that contract. It's more than a 1-year investment. So, Aaron and Jordan Love are both tied to Green Bay. I'm sorry, the handcuffs are on him.
Speaking of contracts, just so everybody knows, Derek Carr's salary of $33 million next year and $7.5 million in 2024 become guaranteed if he gets hurt. So that is obviously the driving force here as to why they would bench him. I mean, he went from KP living literally next door to the Raiders head coach in John Gruden to now getting benched for Jared Stidham. And now I don't know what the future holds for Derek Carr.
Derek Carr was benched for a quarterback that's never started a game. That's, I want to say, also been benched somehow without starting a game. So congrats, Derek. Congrats on your future in the NFL. I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't know what's going to happen with the Raiders. It seems like McDaniel's playing a little scapegoat here, right? Nothing's ever his fault, it seems. I read that they are a little too cash poor to fire Josh McDaniels, which makes a ton of sense. Hiring him in the first place was likely a mistake. Like, who could have ever guessed that he would have not been able to lead or steer the Raiders in the right direction after what he did in his previous stint as a Broncos head coach? It just seems like, I mean, this can go on a tangent of just the retreads in the NFL and why the owners and the decision makers and powers that be need to start thinking outside of the box and leaning into the creative minds as opposed to names that they're just familiar with. But just think about the direction of the Raiders. Fast forward, 10 months ago, acquired Devonta Adams. Go out and sign Chandler Jones, two prominent players at their position, and look at where they are right now. Just couldn't be a more disappointing season. But are we really surprised like when you were looking at this offseason and going through the NFC West, because remember, or sorry, the AFC West, this was supposed to be the most dominant division ever. Patrick Mahomes is going to do what he usually does, which is true. Justin Herbert was going to put the Chargers over the top for the first time, which did happen. And then the Broncos and now the Raiders, like just two wildly disappointing teams. We don't have to say I told you so, but I imagine if you listen to a podcast from us this summer, kind of projected this, right? Kind of predicted this would happen.
I feel like we both sold stock on the Broncos. The one question I have coming out of this, and, you know, Cliff just got an extension. We're seeing that, you know, that's not going great in Arizona. Hackett just got signed and got fired in a single season. People are talking about, you know, they're talking about the financials of the Raiders in the context of Josh McDaniels being bought out after 1 year. Is this just the new normal in the NFL now? Like, can you get canned after a year? I felt like it used to be like 3 years, and then it moved to like, if you're bad enough, you can get canned in two. And now it seems like you could just completely, like, if you lose the locker room, that's just it now.
Well, the funny thing too is, they just had a source, a report from the league meetings, the most recent league meetings, and the NFL gave a presentation about how like teams have spent $80 million on dead money for coaches recently. It's like, well, I guess that didn't really sink in, because it seems like we talked about, and we'll get into it a little later. Hackett's out in Denver, Cliff Kingsbury maybe out in Arizona after just signing a brand new deal. Like, look, when you're a billionaire, you don't really have to care about this stuff, also, I guess.
$80 million is a Christian Kirk contract now.
It's true.
What a statement. An accurate one, too. That's nuts. Right. Honestly, do they deserve a second chance, right? Like, if you're going into year two and you haven't seen the change that you'd like to in your franchise, and, I mean, there's no real positive direction, why do they deserve a second chance? What has Josh McDaniels done to deserve
it? Are you going to fire some of these GMs then? I guess that's my only thing. These GMs aren't getting fired. Chris Ballard, feet up in Indianapolis right now. Just like,
I mean, in Arizona. Think about, I mean, we're going down the list of these names. The Panthers freaking GM. Like, how is he still around? What has he done? Like, I feel like you can do this with a few teams. I mean, yes, they're not producing the results or not getting the results that they would have
wanted. Patton in Denver, like, the owner announced yesterday, he's like, yikes, the head coach is going to report to me. And it's like,
why is he still around?
Why aren't we canning some of these GMs? It's always the coaches.
Yeah,
that's a good point. All right, we're going to move on to more relevant matters in the NFL. We're going to be joined by, or we're going to hear a conversation, I should say, from Debbie Emery and Rob Gronkowski. Without further ado, Gronk.
Super busy season. You got tons going on with the holidays.
I mean, we always got to at least get one interview in every once in a while.
I know. It's been like 6 months. Yeah, first off,
too long.
Hey, I want to talk to you about your little stint as a Christmas elf.
Yeah, it's a Christmas elf.
How did that come around with Nickelodeon?
Yeah, so Nickelodeon hit me up because obviously I worked with him a few times. I hosted the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards this year as well. And they liked what they saw with the host and everything. So then now they host a football game every year on Christmas Day on Nickelodeon. It's on a previous channel as well. It's on like Fox or CBS.
CBS.
On CBS. And also the game is showing on Nickelodeon at the same time. And they have all those special animated effects with the slime going all over the place when they score a touchdown. All that cool, you know, visual effects that the kids love. So they hit me up and asked if I could do a little sequel with them and do a little, you know, a little shoot on the green screen, which took about 45 minutes. And it was just describing, you know, the game a little bit, describing the game of football. Also, you know, describing what each penalty means and just doing it in an easy introduction. And when we did it, it was on a green screen. I was in an elf costume. They brought it over to my house. An elf costume that fit me perfectly. I was pumped about it. You know, I love dressing up for them. It definitely plays the part when you're doing things with Nickelodeon as well, because it's for the kids, and kids love to see people dressed up, you know, as a character. And then I just got, you know, was on the green screen just reading out the lines, just explaining what a flag was and explaining what each penalty meant and everything. And they did it in a silly way, and it just looked very, very well. And they always do, you know, an A-plus job in Nickelodeon.
Where did they find an elf costume to fit someone who's 6'6"?
You know, that's what I'm still wondering. That's why I was super pumped up. I was super happy when they brought it to me. When I arrived to the shoot and they had this elf costume, because it worked out so perfectly, because the next day I was actually going to go buy a Santa costume outfit, because I knew I was going to the Children's Hospital in Springfield, Massachusetts, at the Shriners Hospital. So I was going to go buy a costume the next day, a Santa costume. But the Nickelodeon, I showed up to the shoot, and I didn't even know they had the elf costume, elf outfit waiting for me, and it fit perfectly. So then, therefore, I canceled getting the Santa costume, and it just saved me a lot of time, a lot of hassle, I'm sure. But finding a Santa costume would have been a difficult situation. So it just worked out very well, and I got to use it for the Nickelodeon, and then I also got to use it and wear it when I visited the Children's Hospital up in Springfield.
I saw the videos of you from the Children's Hospital. It was amazing. You guys always do that every year, like making kids' holidays like so special. What was the best thing about surprising them this year?
Yes, that it was just one of the best visits I've ever had to a Children's Hospital. The way that Springfield Shriners Hospital, they set it up to where I was just hanging out in the playroom, and they brought one kid down one by one, and I got to spend about, you know, 15 to 20 minutes with each kid. And I got to visit 8 different kids, and they were just so enthusiastic. They were so excited. They brought so much joy to the table. You know, I got to spend some quality time with them. I got to do an activity with every kid. I got to meet their parents or their friend or their brother or sister, whoever they were with. And also, I went out there and bought some gifts for them. I got 2 pairs of shoes for everyone. An ice shaker, obviously, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey. The ice shaker was one of the coolest ice shakers of all time, too, because Chris specialized them for the holidays, and they had snowflakes all over it.
Oh, that's so really that cute.
It was really cute. So everything just went so well together. The families, the kids had such a good time. I had a great time because I love doing activities. So I got to be shooting Papa Shot, the basketball. We were playing soccer, you know, air hockey, all the good stuff. It was a blast.
That's brilliant, especially for kids that can't get home over Christmas.
Yes, exactly.
Now we're heading into the playoffs. Who do you think is the best tight end in the league now that you're not playing?
Oh, I mean, obviously it's Travis Kelce. I mean, the guy's putting up numbers that are just spectacular year in and year out, and game every single game, game in and game out. So he's a special talent, and just what's so impressive about him is how he just manages to get better every single year.
Is there any like team you're like you're really surprised about this year? Like, I feel like this season has just been full of upheavals.
Yeah, it's up and down. It's like that every single year. That's what's so great about football, is you just don't know who's going to win every single week. I mean, every game's up for grabs, and you just don't know what team's going to be not so good, and you just don't really know what team is going to be that great. And there's always a surprise team that's supposed to be really terrible, and they're doing excellent. And there's always a team that's supposed to be really, really good, and they're just doing absolutely terrible. So there's always surprises about the NFL. What's so great about the game is that it's just such an even sport, you know. It's level on all playing fields for every team. There's a salary cap. Every team, you know, gets a draft pick depending on, you know, where they're slotted, depending on their record. So it's just so fair. It's just fair play in the NFL, and that's why you just see, you know, and that's what makes the game so great, and that's why you just don't know who's going to win on any given Sunday. So, one team that's surprising me, though, is especially with their quarterback, their rookie quarterback, is the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, with that Brock Purdy guy, who was the last pick of the NFL draft this year, it's just pretty impressive how he has stepped in and just, you know, and just leading them to victories every week.
I mean, yeah, could you even imagine that Mr. Irrelevant could be, like, heading to the Super Bowl?
It would be one of the most wildest stories, definitely, of all times, especially for Mr. Irrelevant. And it's just so irrelevant that he was irrelevant, and now he's so relevant.
Try saying that 5 times fast. Do you think he can do it?
He's got a really good team around him, got a great defense, the number one in the league. So if he just manages the game and just, you know, just doesn't make mistakes, I think, you know, they can definitely have a very good chance of making it all the way.
I bumped into your old boss a few weeks ago, Mr. Kraft, and he was saying,
yes,
he was saying great things about you. I actually bumped into him in Beverly Hills, and he said he'd never seen Rob Gronkowski have a bad day. He's wow. still a big fan.
He just wasn't around. He wasn't around every single day then. I miss Mr. Kraft. He did a great. He does a great job over there with the Patriots. He's so involved with the team. You know, sometimes the owners aren't even around, but he's so involved. And he definitely has shown me the way on, you know, giving back to the community. That's one great thing he does is he gives back to the community. He's very charitable, and it has definitely worn off onto me, you know, to give back whenever you possibly can, whenever you have the chance to do it, especially during the holidays.
I know this has been asked to death, but do you think Tom's going to come back next year? There's even rumors that he might even go back to the Patriots, which seems unlikely.
You know. Yeah. Now, I mean, that's getting a little crazy for sure. I mean, there's rumors always going around. I mean, they're just saying he's going to the Niners back home and he's going back to the Patriots. He may stay with the Tampa Bay Bucs. So, you know, everyone's just hitting, you know, every possible situation. So someone can finally say they're right at the end of it. but just overall, I think he can definitely play if he wants to, you know. You don't really see, you know, him falling off at all. I mean, he's leading the league in passing yards, but he's top five in passing yards. So that's just incredible. Just at age 45, the zip on his ball is still there. It's still, you know, very powerful. He's reaching his targets with every single throw. So you see no fall off at all. So, and I don't expect the fall off at all. And I can see him going till age 50 if he wanted to. That's up to him. But I also do, definitely, I see him playing next year.
Nice. I think 50 is a really good goal.
Yeah, it's a really good goal. I mean, he hasn't defied any expectations yet. I think he needs to go to 50 years old.
Do you think Belichick's getting more grief and heat than he should do?
I mean, he's always doing a great job. I mean, definitely one of the best coaches of all time, if not the best coach of all time. But, I mean, you got to win in this league. It's either you eventually win or you're going to get canned. And that's the same with a player. If you're not doing well, if you're not producing, you're going to get canned. So that's how the NFL works. So it's either win, eventually win, you know, or prove that you're on the way to winning again, or else you're going to get booted. So I think he's pretty stable for a little bit longer, though, for sure.
Now we've got the Super Bowl coming in Arizona, which the last time the Super Bowl was there, you guys won. Do you have any hot predictions for who's going to be there this year?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my hometown Buffalo Bills because I'm from Buffalo, you know, and I'm not playing anymore, so I could be a slightly a Bills fan once again. And then I'll go with who I was talking about before, the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, their defense is just unreal. They're number one in basically every single category. So, and they got that Bosa guy coming off the edge who's just getting to the quarterback and just demolishing them.
Well, thanks so much, Rob. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us. And I know you've got a flight to catch, too.
Thank you.
You better be flying somewhere warm.
I will be. I just got to Florida, and I'm going somewhere even warmer than Florida. So,
oh, nice.
6 days, so I'm ready for it.
Thanks again to Debbie and Gronk for letting us hear that conversation. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll run the gauntlet and get to the bottom of the big question of the week. Which current non-playoff team would be the most interesting if they got in?
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smart Water Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
As they win the Gridiron Gauntlet.
Okay, Smarty, what's a gauntlet?
Truly don't even know what a gauntlet is.
The gauntlet has been laid.
Back here on the SB Nation NFL show, before we get into the gauntlet, we mentioned it previously, so we'll talk about it quickly here. Denver Broncos make a coaching change. We haven't done a pod since this happened. Nathaniel Hackett is out after less than one full season. And I don't know what to think about this, because essentially they're kind of saying, like, Nathaniel Hackett, it's all your fault. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson justice looks like a shell of himself.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers yesterday, he was on McAfee, and he's close with Hackett. You know, all those articles that came out last year leading up to him getting some of these head coaching opportunities and stuff like that. You know, they're super close, and he was like, you know, there's a lot of reasons why that thing went wrong, and maybe I'll touch on it some other time. So Rodgers must know something that, you know, Hackett's not super happy about. I mean, it's just an unfortunate situation, man. Like, just didn't work out. They got all those national games early on in the season. Everyone could tell that it's not working out. The one thing that I do find interesting coming out of it is Evero didn't end up getting canned, right? I mean, they
did make coordinator.
Yeah, they did make some changes, and Evero was a guy that I think a lot of people, I mean, I'm speaking as a Packers fan right now, had him circled as like a potential DC hire elsewhere, you know, if they did end up cleaning house. But maybe they do the thing that, you know, Green Bay did in that transition between McCarthy and LaFleur, where, you know, they just keep Mike Pettin under, they kept him under contract as the defensive coordinator and said, you know, you probably would have been the same caliber guy that we would have hired anyway. Let's not buy you out and then give another guy a contract just to tread water. So maybe Evero sticks, and I think that might have some ripple effects, you know, in the NFL when we're looking at guys like Jim Leonard and stuff like that potentially getting DC roles in the league.
All right, let's get to the gauntlet. This is what we do with the gauntlet. We come up with candidates based on a theme of the week, and we pit those candidates against each other until only one remains. Today's question is, which current non-playoff team would be the most interesting if they got in? KP, we'll start with you. The Tennessee Titans or the New England Patriots? See what I did there?
So you have Belichick, and then you have the better version of Belichick, huh? So I'm trying to think of a scenario that I'd want to watch either team in the playoffs, right? And what would that be? Just a Derrick Henry going up against like the Chargers again, or like the Dolphins, or a Chiefs team that can't stop the run? Like, that would be the only scenario that would involve the Titans, right? Where Derrick Henry just has a bonkers day where he rushes for like 250 yards. Like, is that really exciting though? Is that going to move the needle?
On also, the other is that going to happen? Are you going to be able to give him enough handoffs to do that in the playoffs?
So the other side, what have we seen from this Patriots offense to think that they are going to be able to compete, right? Like, they had their chances against the Bengals, but I'm not sure how locked in the Bengals were. It just felt like an obvious letdown spot for the Pats, and they still couldn't take advantage because they haven't been able to do so all year. Aside from completing a wild Hail Mary, I'm going to go out and say that the Patriots offense, they're not going to be up to par against any playoff defense. So I feel like by default, process of elimination, it has to be the Titans. But I'm not confident in that, right? Like, Justice, where are you going with this?
I'm taking New England, and my entire angle is just we get another week of Mac Jones yelling at Matt Patricia. That's all I'm doing during Patriots games now. I'm just like looking for those clips. It's not like the actual football at this point. I do have breaking news. Ooh. Field Yates said the Broncos interim head coach Jerry Roseberg declared that Russell Wilson will remain the starting quarterback in Denver. Breaking news.
Wow. The guy they just gave a zillion dollars to.
Yeah, I didn't know this was a debate. This is why I'm like, I feel like I've lost reality with the NFL now, where like these things come into question a year into it. And it's like, dude, you can't get out of the Russell Wilson deal 3 years from now. 3 years from now.
Like, but he will start two meaningless games at the end of the year.
All right. So real quick on the Patriots, I will say they need to put Marcus Jones on offense. Like, you have no real legitimate skill players. Just put Marcus Jones on offense, and then I would have picked you, but they are unaware of the talent on their team. So I'm going to the Titans.
Steven Serta, we need your services. You are the judge in this case, so it falls to you to pick the winner of the opening round in this gauntlet. Who would be the more interesting playoff team if they got in, the Titans or the Patriots?
Neither of these teams is
interesting. Correct.
So that's already a hard thing to push. But I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans here solely because I'd much rather just watch Derrick Henry in a playoff game and hopefully he breaks off a couple of long runs, because the Patriots offensively are not as hard to watch as the Denver Broncos, but they're not that far behind watching the Denver Broncos try to play offense. So I'd much rather watch Derrick Henry in a playoff game than Mac Jones in this Patriots offense.
Congratulations, Tennessee Titans. I guess you move on for the right to get eliminated by the next team, Justice, because it's who's more interesting, Titans or Dolphins?
Ooh. Oh,
maybe, man. Without Tua, though. Yeah. We don't know.
What a question this week, right?
32 goals.
Now it's been confirmed that he did have a concussion on Sunday. Ooh. I guess I'm going to go Miami, actually. I gave it like 5 seconds of thought, and even if Tua isn't out there, those wide receivers are enough. That's enough speed to keep me interested. I want one final point on this Tennessee Titans team, because this might be the last time we talk about them on this episode.
It will.
So, Mike Vrabel got Coach of the Year last year, right? And the whole thing was like he played 90 different guys on the 53-man roster. I just saw a graphic today, and it's like they're so far ahead in terms of guys played over the last 2 years. And it wasn't just because of last season. They're also injured this season. What if they just can't keep their guys healthy? What if he's just like, I mean, he's kind of knuckle-dragger old-school ball coach, right? So, like, what if we just gave him Coach of the Year because he can't keep his guys healthy and he's not doing any of this, like, you know, load management stuff that all the other teams in the NFL are doing right now? I still feel like he's a fraudulent Coach of the Year. I know KP called him a better version of Bill Belichick, which I can't believe that, but it doesn't make
sense.
He's
a really good coach. He's a very good coach, man.
He's a very good situational coach. But
yeah, I feel like I was just going to say, I feel like he does a really good job of just pressing the right buttons. Yeah, I mean, look at his quarterback, man. What is he supposed to do with that offense?
Again, if we're adding another guy to a list of
– yeah, there we go. Now we're talking.
What happens with the general managers? Why aren't these general managers getting canned?
It has to be Miami, right? So think about the potential revenge game for Tyreek Hill in the first round against the Chiefs. Like, he might go for 300 in that game. The Dolphins against anybody will probably score a ton of points, despite their issues at quarterback. And I know that they've fell off over the past couple of weeks here, but like, is that because of the offense or is that because the quarterback's missing throws? They do have to have like Bradley Chubb healthy to be competitive, but I think that their style of play defensively will make any game interesting just because they run so much man coverage and there's going to be somebody open no matter what, just how they play. And then going back to the other side of the ball, their speed is unlike any other team. And when people think of receivers in the NFL, like, you're going to think of Tyreek Hill, but you're not really thinking of Jalen Waddle in the same lens as some of the top 10 guys. And he is very much in that conversation, if not
Jair, after the game last week, was thinking about Waddle. He was doing the Waddle to the fans into the tunnel.
That Waddle is incredible to me. Like, he's as good as it gets. So I think just those two alone, and then you obviously have the speed of Raheem Mostert, and any game that Tua is involved in gets people talking. So that alone would be it makes it easy for me to pick.
He's the hot button. Yes. He is the hot button on so many subjects now.
We'll see if he even comes back. I mean, Mike McDaniel's comments today were essentially that the medical professionals have urged him and the team to just sort of live in the moment that you're in, basically, to take care of yourself now. He's probably, well, I don't want to speculate. He's had multiple concussions this year. I don't know how many, but it certainly seems like it's possible more than have been officially diagnosed. I'll just put it that way.
Like two with an asterisk.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. There's an asterisk next to whatever number the league is going to put there. That's for sure. All right, KP, which current non-playoff team would be more interesting if they got in, the Dolphins or the Geno Smith-led Seattle Seahawks?
Oh, man. If I think it's the Dolphins. I mean, Seattle, it seems like for them to, in recent weeks, be competitive, a lot has to go right for them. And if they don't have Tyler Lockett, I mean, this is a no-brainer, because without him, they really struggled against a Chiefs team that has pretty much laid out the red carpet for you to score points against them. And for them to struggle against that defense, I thought was pretty telling. And I mean, it tells you the impact that Tyler Lockett has, but I think it just still comes back to the Dolphins, just their firepower and their ability to score points in a hurry. Whereas I don't think Geno's playing poorly, but I think his supporting cast isn't the same. And obviously, that goes without saying, not having Lockett, but their defense is just not any good. And that doesn't mean the Dolphins' defense is good, but Seattle's is somehow worse, and that is pretty telling. So I'm going to stick with Miami here.
I think the Geno narrative is more fun for me. I know we just came off of saying two is the hot button, right? But, like, I don't know. If Geno – I think Geno's capable of winning maybe one or two playoff games, right?
Who? Who's he beating? I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, like, who? The Vikings goes without saying.
Yeah,
like,
Vikings. I mean, Brock Purdy is going to be starting a playoff game.
Hold on. But Geno hasn't done a damn thing in two games against the 49ers. Like, let's not pretend those didn't happen.
Lightning strike thrice? Who knows? Who knows?
It's not lightning.
I'm just look, I'm just saying, I'm not scared of Brock Purdy. I'm just saying.
I didn't think he would list the 49ers second. When I lobbed that question out, I've seen many offenses go against that defense, and there's not a lot of success to be had.
I know. All right. This is my point. If Geno wins like a playoff game or even two playoff games, right? They're sitting in the contract here. Are you going to give that guy $30+ million per year? Maybe 36, somewhere around that range. Like, they're also going to be a team that has, you know, a pick. What I think right now, it's like third in the draft right now, right? It's behind Houston and
it's definitely
Chicago.
Top five, right? Or top 10. Definitely.
Yeah.
Top
I mean, 10. They're potentially in a spot where they could take a Stroud, a Levis, a Bryce Young, one of these top quarterbacks. So, like, you're not even just changing the free agency market, but you're also changing the draft market. And I know, you know, we're talking about the Dolphins living in the moment. I know I'm not doing that when we're talking about this thing, but like, if we're talking about the next offseason, like the Seahawks and Geno specifically winning a couple games, I think would be pretty exciting.
So you're taking the Seahawks just for that angle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These aren't very good teams. So I get very fascinated with very small details.
Steven Serta, we need your help once again. Non-playoff team that would be interesting if they got in, Seahawks or Dolphins?
The argument that Justice just laid out for the Seahawks is making me pick the Dolphins.
It's a KP week. Just say it. It's all right.
It's just, man, I watched every snap of that game against the Chiefs, and the Seahawks, Geno was a fun storyline, but I mean, come on, under no circumstance should they consider giving Geno, even if it's a 1 year, $30 million deal or something. Like, I just don't think you can give that to Geno Smith. And
do it, Raiders.
They should definitely, the Seahawks should definitely take a quarterback.
I mean, what if the Jets do it?
That'd be interesting.
There's some desperation out there for quarterbacks right now.
The argument, though, does come down to the Miami Dolphins and having Tua versus Teddy Bridgewater. And if they do have Tua, they're still an exciting offensive team that I would like to see in the playoffs. And if they do have Tua, even as bad as their defense is, I think a game between the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs would be a really exciting playoff game. And it would make me nervous enough just knowing how devastating and dangerous Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle can be with Tua. And we know who Teddy is. Like, Teddy isn't going to move the needle. He's not going to push the football down the field. But just the shimmer of hope that Tua would be available for a playoff game is enough for me to pick the Dolphins over the Seahawks.
You know, I admire the
quick sidebar. How many wins do the Jets have with Geno under center this year? Or no, let me phrase that differently. Are the Jets a 10-win team with Geno under center?
Yes.
Because I think it's not really close.
Yes.
And my answer is yes. And my answer is I would maybe pick them to challenge coming out of the AFC if that were the case. Obviously, wild hypotheticals here, but would you guys agree with that? Is that too hyperbolic chamber here?
They probably win both Patriot games.
Yeah.
I definitely won.
He certainly gets more out of Garrett Wilson, who's looked like a star with Mike White.
With literally anybody else on his
speaking of, did you guys see the article about Von Miller and Matt Barkley and Josh Allen and all that stuff and the recruitment of Von Miller?
No.
So part of it was Matt Barkley was like a middleman. I don't know when they would have crossed paths. But I guess the whole thing was like Josh was convincing Matt Barkley to recruit Von Miller to go to Buffalo. And he's like, fine, but you got to have the team re-sign me to the roster if I do this. And they're like, okay, we'll do that. But one of the texts that Josh Allen sent him was just Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson to Von Miller. And just being like, you get to play these guys six times this season. Why don't you want to come here?
That's a hell of a recruiting
pitch.
That's
cold. That's cold. All right. Especially once Josh Allen got done by Jalen Ramsey, right? After his rookie year. You guys remember that where Jalen
Ramsey
was calling him trash in GQ and stuff like that? He was bad his rookie year.
Hey, I don't know. Whatever gets the job done, man. Like, credit to Josh Allen. I like it. I like that argument that you made, Justice. I thought that was a pretty damn good argument, but the Dolphins move on. All right, you're up next, Justice. Dolphins or Panthers? Which non-playoff team would be more interesting if they got in?
I'm going to be honest. I've been sticking very far away from the Carolina Panthers on my television screen in recent weeks. I really don't know what's been happening there. I saw cut-ups of people putting it on Twitter. Sam Darnold under center. I had forgotten completely that he was their starting quarterback.
Oh, he's a thing.
Once more. For some reason, I've just like lost touch with the team probably since PJ Walker went down.
They won three out of their last four. Beat the Lions last week.
That's what I've been hearing. And if someone, if people weren't tweeting about it, I wouldn't have known at all. So I'm going to pick the Miami Dolphins. Because they still have a Tyreek Hill and a Jalen Waddle more than the Carolina Panthers do.
I think it's Carolina, man.
Ooh, what?
I have been watching them, and they are. I don't want to call them good because that might be giving them too much credit. But they can make you one-dimensional, which is a topic that we need to be freaking talking about right now, Husker fans. They can make you one-dimensional, so they can essentially suffocate your running game. They have a good front. Brian Burns is an absolute star. J.C. Horn is a star. They have guys on the back end like Jeremy Chinn who can do versatile things. So their defense is very good, and I feel like they should get more credit for what they're doing defensively. Quietly, during this stretch, they've been able to throw the ball on teams, man. And that has been a pleasant surprise, something that you would not have expected. I'm going to go Panthers here because I think the way that we might talk about some other teams like the Panthers, the way that they are playing, the way that they would match up against teams and just stylistically, I feel like can give some of these contenders more problems in the playoffs than some people might think. So I think they run the ball very well. Oh, man, it's still Darnold. So that like that is still a worry and you never know what he's going to do. He might close his eyes and throw something, throw a pass into triple coverage, but I mean, they have weapons. DJ Moore's fine. They're getting something from Terrace Marshall, but I believe in that defense, man. I think Steve Wilks has that team going in the right direction. And if he's not going to be a head coach next year, well, like as a retread, what the hell are we doing here?
I was going to ask, do you think he has a chance to stick there? I mean, that's really such an owner-based thing, honestly.
The Cardinals should hire Steve Wilks.
How the dare Panthers... you speculate on jobs that haven't opened yet, KP? These people have families.
Carolina, Carolina dropped 570 yards on the Lions last week, including 320 on the ground.
Yeah, they probably could have rushed for 500 in that game, honestly. Like, it was, they were doing whatever they wanted to, and they were making it look very easy. I legitimately think that they could do some damage if they do get, obviously, they have to make the playoffs, but their style of play is how you win in the playoffs, is how I'll put it.
All right, Steven Serta, help us out once again. Dolphins, Panthers.
How many of these Panthers games have you seen? Be honest.
I've actually seen more than I should have because See? I have Deontay Foreman on a fantasy game.
Disgusting.
He's been an important part of my lineup since they traded Christian McCaffrey. What? So I've actually followed the Carolina Panthers pretty close. But it's still the Miami Dolphins for me.
No!
But this is a lot closer than it should be. And just to highlight the job that Steve Wilks is doing, because I do think he is doing a good job. The Lions' rush defense had actually been one of the best rush defenses in football since their bye. And they dismantled them. Like, the way everybody beats the Lions is by passing the football. And they were like, nope, we got it. It's taken care of. Chuba Hubbard, Deontay Foreman. We're going to run all over you. We're going to spread everything out, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. And they absolutely dismantled the Lions' run defense that had been playing really well. So I think that highlights to, you know, breaking down tape and identifying the things where you can find success. And I think that all highlights good coaching. So I do think the Panthers are interesting, and I think they're probably the most interesting team in the NFC South because that division's absolutely garbage. So it probably would be fun to see them sneak into the playoffs in that just – awful, awful division, but I can't pick Sam Darnold over Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That's all that it comes down to for me.
We're going hands up, no Google. Can you name the highest ranking offensive coach on the Carolina Panthers right now?
No, I have no idea.
No.
The OC. Let's go, KP. Dead silence is bad.
I'm trying to think. No, I have nothing.
It's Ben McAdoo, offensive.
Nope. Oh my god, I knew that. Nope, I knew it was McAdoo.
There were McAdoo Panthers jokes before the season. I do remember that.
The Panthers can't win by default now. That's it.
What happened to the LSU coordinator?
They fired him.
No,
they
I know
fired
that.
Where him is he? Mid-season after the bye. He's the quarterback's coach at Buffalo now. yeah. Joe Brady's right out there. He's touched by Josh Allen, so now he can get another NFL coordinating job.
Smart guy. That's how that works. Smart guy.
Justice, this is appropriate, so we'll start with you. More interesting non-playoff team, Dolphins or Packers?
Well, the Packers just beat them, right? I mean, Tua was probably concussed when he threw three interceptions against them in the fourth quarter, but the Packers just beat them. I don't know. I'm actually going to go Miami.
Oh,
I really am. I think they're the more interesting team. I don't think this Green Bay team is very good. I want this Green Bay team to beat Minnesota, to break the Viking fans' hearts. But outside of that, I don't like what narrative are we going to come out like from a Packers loss with? At least Miami, it's like.
Oh, I'll come up with plenty, by the way. Well, very clear about that.
From you, I'm sure. But, like, Miami's more interesting to me because seeing, like, playoff teams try to stop the, you know, hashtag Tua offense, right? Like, he has a brand. We've seen him drop a couple games early on in this – or late on in the season, like, against San Francisco where they're playing the middle of the field constantly. Like, I want to see if that's something that's replicable for these playoff teams that aren't used to playing, you know, middle of the field coverage in that way. So – I think it's Miami, and I think it's because of potentially like the schematic downfall of Tua and like what is possible in that realm. But I know that makes me sound like a massive hater to pick against my team because of someone else's downfall.
That's like the definition of being a hater.
I know, but I'm being honest. I'm being honest at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. When I'm thinking about Green Bay and just how they play, what they would look like against a playoff team, it would be one of the most boring games of that weekend, of that wild card weekend.
Tua was throwing for like 20 a pass against the Packers in the first half before he got the concussion. The Rams somehow only had like 250 yards against the Packers, but the Packers didn't look good on defense that entire game at the same time.
Right.
Like, they've been winning, but like they haven't been playing well on the defensive side. Like, it's gonna be that Mike Pettine versus Kyle Shanahan game where, like, if someone wants to run all over Green Bay, they can just run all over Green Bay, and there's just nothing that they can do about it. I don't think they're interesting.
Since week 10, the Packers are 27th in schedule adjusted run efficiency on defense. That is going to come back to haunt them if they make the playoffs. A team, probably in the Bay Area, is probably going to set a record for rushing yards in a game against the Packers again in the playoffs. My answer is Miami for a lot of the reasons that we've talked about. I'm just fascinated by what that two-minute drill with Tua is going to look like when the Dolphins are inevitably down 4 points. They need a touchdown, and now you cannot RPO your way down the field. He has to drop back, recognize that there are actually underneath defenders. I don't see it ending well, but I see the storylines being fantastic coming out of that game. I just think the Dolphins are very exciting. I mean, the way that Mike McDaniel is calling plays, they do have talent on both sides of the ball. So it is easy to pick them and lean on them. But still, whether it's Dolphins, Chiefs, Dolphins, Chargers, Dolphins, Bengals, like whoever they play in that first round, like that will make for a very exciting game no matter how you slice it. And it's probably going to come down to Tua.
All right, I intentionally left this team last because I think I know the way it's going to go. But every time I say that, I end up wrong. So who the hell knows? KP, we'll start with you. Which current non-playoff team would be the most interesting if they got in? The Dolphins or the Lions of Detroit?
Oh, wow. The team of the podcast, huh? Man, that was pretty disappointing last week, wasn't it? So the Lions were in a prime spot to take advantage and effectively earn a playoff seating, and they just fell flat on their face. Carolina ran through them. I think the question comes down to, am I getting Jared Goff in sub-35-degree weather? Am I going to get him in Santa Clara? Am I going to get him in Minnesota? Because if he is in a warm weather condition, I'm taking the Lions because I still think that they are very good. Like, they're a potent offense. St. Brown has been everything this year. He deserves so much credit for his growth. And obviously having a compliment like Jameson Williams coming along. I really like the Lions offensively. They are not good on the other side of the ball, but that's the same for the Dolphins too. Justice, who do you trust? Which defense do you trust more to get a stop? The Dolphins or the Lions?
Probably the Dolphins, just because the second half has been so much better than their first half. I think the first half of the season, it probably would have been a draw for me. I just want to take a step back real quick and remind you guys. Remember when you guys laughed me off for saying the Detroit Lions have a chance at the seventh seed in the preseason?
I'm still laughing. They're not over 500. They're not over 500. They're better.
I was like,
than
I don't
record.
Know. Are they worse than Arizona? Are they worse than New Orleans? And you guys are like, no way. There's no way Detroit's gonna get there.
Are they still better than their record? I just want to know. They would have to be, right? Because they're under 500.
I think they're probably somewhere around their record now. I think their record has never been more accurate than it is right now. So I think I'm gonna go Miami, and I think it's just because the narrative on Goff is so dependent. I mean, we've seen him in weather games since college, and he's struggled in these weather games since college. And we talked about his hand size in the draft cycle, and we've seen him in both Los Angeles and Detroit when he has to face weather situations, play poorly. And we know that that's going to be a factor in the playoffs. And then the other thing is pressure really impacts him too. And when KP was just talking about Minnesota and San Francisco, you know, that's the clear weather that you want to be able to have Goff playing. Dude, those pass rushers are going to kill him.
Danielle Hunter, man.
They're going to destroy that guy. I mean, Za'Darius has been playing pretty well when he's been on the field this year too. So, like, I don't know. I think the Lions hype train is running on fumes right now. Again, I don't think their record has ever been more accurate than it is right now. They do have a couple quality pass rushers. What's his name? James Houston, the kid out of Jackson State. He's doing pretty well right now, and I don't think he's a national name. But I think I'm going to pick Miami just because the Tua narrative, like KP said, right? Like, you put Tua against Cincinnati, against the Chargers, against whoever, it doesn't matter. That narrative is going to be that narrative coming into the game, and you're going to take something out of the game. I feel like we can go into a Lions game with a thought about the team or Jared Goff, and it just like doesn't end up mattering at all in the grand scheme of things.
So KP, who did you pick? I'm sorry, I missed it.
I honestly forgot.
I don't think you did pick anybody. That's why I'm asking.
And I mean, my natural inclination is just to fade Justice here.
Do it. Make Steven make one last pick.
Can I point this out? Let's say even the Lions, they beat Chicago this week. You know where they go the last week of the season? In Green Bay. Just throwing that out.
A lot, right? Yeah, I think the wheels are spinning right now, and I know I just asked about the defense. Now my question is, like, who would you trust more outdoors in a 2-minute drill, Goff or Tua?
God. At this point, I need to know the defense. Like, do you have a pass rusher? If you have a pass rusher, it's Tua.
So the Vikings have a pass rush, but they give up a ton of plays on the back end.
Yeah.
So let's say it's, I mean, that's indoors, so like that's not really a fair comparison. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's hard. We might have found the least apples to apples comparison teams in the NFL, in the Miami Dolphins and the Detroit Lions. I think we did it, Stats. I think we did it. This is what we built the gauntlet for.
I'll go Miami just because, I mean, the storyline of the season has been Tua non, the most voted player in the Pro Bowl by the fans. Did not make the Pro Bowl.
Did you guys see?
Can I just get
Huntley
something in here on why?
Let's hear it, Steve.
The Lions. Listen, that loss to Carolina was really disappointing, and
it's too bad they didn't broadcast it on TV.
As a new Lions fan, I was really devastated by that loss to the Panthers after they had been absolutely rolling. But if we're talking about a first-round playoff matchup, and let's say the Lions sneak in and they've got to go to Minnesota, and I understand they've got those pass rushers, but the Vikings secondary is absolutely terrible. It's going to be indoors inside a dome. Like, I'd be really interested in that playoff game, and I think the Lions could easily upset the Vikings like we just saw them do a couple of weeks ago. That's my case for the Lions. That's all I got.
Man,
shocked that you two picked the Lions.
Can I be done with the Lions?
I picked Miami.
All year I've been hearing about the Lions. Everybody acts like the first 8 games of the season just happened to them. Like, they didn't earn all those losses. Like, man, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
I do. It is weird looking at Jared Goff's stats this year. And he's like top 5 in efficiency. And you're like, I know how to beat you. I know like exactly the situations you are going to fall flat on your face in.
They've legitimately been one of the best offenses in the NFL over the past like 6 or 7 weeks.
And they have a fatal flaw. And
they
like
got shut out 29-0 by the Patriots with Bailey freaking Zappi as the quarterback. 29-0. That happened.
Submerged Bailey Zappi, who one time took the Green Bay Packers in overtime off the bench.
Man, I'm just saying. All right, well, congratulations, Miami Dolphins. You win. You are the most interesting non-playoff team to get into the playoffs. Steven Serta, thank you very much. KP, Justice, thanks for running through. This was, I think, the most satisfying gauntlet of 2022, and it's our last show of the year.
Yeah, see you next year.
Thanks, everybody. Rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. We'll talk to you next week.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.